Good morning. Glad to hear these Christmas carols. We did a catering job in Eden at a church Thursday night, and usually they sing Christmas carols together. It's the senior citizens, and they had somebody to come in and sing. He didn't even sing one Christmas carol. He was singing all these other songs. So I'm glad to hear those. I'd like to give a prayer request that you be praying for us. We're trying to open up a bakery here in Reidsville, and we're working on it. We've had all kinds of dates that we've set, and people are asking me, when are you going to do it? We don't know. But maybe in 3 weeks or so. But it's going to be called a piece of cake. So you be looking for the sign, a piece of cake on Market Street. We have had in the last 9 days, 11 catering jobs. And we had to put a message on our phone on November the 18th. We could take no more catering jobs or cake orders until January the 3rd. So the Lord is blessing in the business, overly blessing. So just continue to pray for us that everything will get done, that we can get opened up. Would you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22? Proverbs chapter 22. Thank you. The question I want to ask you today is, what's in a name? Do you know what your name means? Do you know why your parents chose to call you what they call you? What's in a name? But here in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name is rather to be chosen. Now, I don't think that most of you chose your own name. So this verse must be saying something other than your given name. A good name is rather to be chosen. Most of you, your parents picked your name or someone else did, but you didn't pick your name. But when it says a good name, Jesus Christ gave us a definition for that word good. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good save one, even God." So Jesus said, when you say good, the definition of good is God. And so when it says here in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen, it's a godly name. Now, as I said, we do not choose our names, but in some countries, in some Oriental countries, when a person becomes a believer because of the fact that their country is pretty well controlled by a false religion, when they become a Christian, they change their name. You've heard of Watchman Nee, Witness Lee. They've changed their names to a name that would depict a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it says here, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, it's speaking of what people think of you. The name that people would give you, if they had a name to give you because of the kind of life you're living. There was a missionary, his name was Ernest Maxwell, who was with Sudan Interior Mission in Nigeria. And the Africans had nicknames that they gave the missionaries. He learned their language, the Hausa language, so well. They called him the Hausa boy. He was boyish looking, so they called him the Hausa boy. But there was another missionary there on the field. They called him Couldn't Care Less. Does that describe? I mean, you don't have to have any more details about it, do you? Couldn't Care Less. That's what the people thought of that missionary. He could care less about them. I hope that every one of us is choosing a good name by the life that we live, by the things that we say, by the things that we do. As I said, most parents have chosen names. They choose names like a friend that they really respect to give to their children, or they've chosen Bible names that have a definition that they want their children to live up to. Loretta and I, there was a girl that Loretta met in a home in Canada once, a little girl, and she was so impressed with this girl because she didn't mess with the things on the coffee table. She didn't go around messing with the things in the house she was visiting in. And so she chose that name for one of our daughters because of what she saw in this little girl. And she wanted our daughter to live up to that kind of a standard. And so for many different reasons, we pick names for our children. Well, in the Bible, we have names that God has chosen for children. One of those names was Isaac. God chose his name. God told Isaac's father, Abraham, what his name would be. And it says in Genesis 17:19, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Isaac. Laughter. Now, when Abraham was told that he was going to have a child and he was going to be 100 years old when this child was born and his wife was going to be 90, he laughed. And when Sarah heard that she was going to have a child at 90 years old and she hadn't been able to have children, she laughed. And God named their child Laughter. And every time they called their son, they were reminded, "You laughed at God. You didn't believe that God could do this." Laughter. Sarah is recorded there in Genesis 18:2. Now, John the Baptist was another that God gave him his name. It's in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. And the angel said unto him, Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." John means Jehovah is gracious. Jehovah is gracious. The Lord is gracious. The Lord was gracious to Elizabeth. She was not able to have children, and she was older. The Lord was gracious to us and sending one to prepare the way of the Lord. A voice crying in the wilderness, as Isaiah prophesied. The Lord is gracious. Now, John didn't believe it. And to prove it, God did not allow him to speak until his son was born. And when he was born, Elizabeth said, "His name will be John." And the people all said, "You have no one in your family whose name is John." And they were used to a child being named after their father or after someone in the family. And then God opened Zacharias' mouth and he said, "His name will be John." God was gracious. Jehovah was gracious. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Of those born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist." But the name I want us to think about today is the name Jesus. Jesus. Now, when the people that we're going to read about today heard that name, they didn't hear Jesus as we hear it. They heard Savior. Savior or Deliverer. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 1. This name was the name that was given to his father Joseph before Jesus was born. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this is referring to Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 14. Isaiah was prophesying some 700 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. He shall save his people from their sins. God gave the definition. He heard Savior. Joseph heard Savior. God said, he shall save his people from their sins. In John chapter 1, in verse 1, in verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus Christ, God's riches. He paid the price in order that we might have life. Full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then in John chapter 1 and verse 29, and this is John the Baptist speaking to some of his disciples. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist knew why Jesus had come into the world, and that Jesus was a fulfillment of that name. Jesus, Savior, the Savior of the world. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." None other name under heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. And yet there are many out here in the world today who say there are other ways to heaven. We did the Salvation Army dinner on Wednesday, and Ken Hanauer was there, and many of you know Ken. And he gave me his Christmas letter for this year. I just want to read you the first line of this letter. "The latest issue of Christianity Today, 12-2009, shared a perplexing statistic from a survey given by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, 2008. 48% of American evangelical Christians believe non-Christian faiths can lead a person to eternal life without Jesus Christ as Savior." Ken goes on to say, "I can only surmise that these believers reject the witness of the Bible, or they fail to weigh the evidence. Perhaps many Christians have only a flimsy understanding of many connecting threads of facts revealing the identity of Jesus." 48% of American evangelicals believe that there are other ways to heaven besides Jesus Christ. God's Word tells us there in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So, the name that was given to Joseph before Jesus was born, Jesus. Then the name that was given to his mother before his birth. This is in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus, Savior, great, the Son of the highest. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God had a plan. God had a purpose. He did not just send his Son into the world. We're told in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law. God had an appointed time for his Son to come. And he had an appointed reason for his Son to come. It was for us. Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven, left a perfect environment to come into a sin-cursed world because he wanted to take our place on the cross. He wanted to be our Savior. Not only was this name given to Joseph and this name given to Mary, but it was also given to the shepherds after the birth of Christ. Here were lowly shepherds out on the hillside at night, outside of Bethlehem. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. It says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Savior, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It gives his whole name, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Savior. The Lord is his deity, Jehovah God. Jesus, his humanity, Savior. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Christ speaks of His royalty, the Messiah, the King. And in 2 Corinthians 8:9 that we quoted this morning at the worship service, it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. He was rich there in the splendor of heaven with his Father. But he became poor. Here he was born in a manger. There was no room for the Son of God there in Bethlehem. All the people had come to sign up for the census, and there was no room. And we shouldn't be hard on the innkeeper. He didn't have room. But he found a place in a stable. With the wild, with the animals, the smell, the stench. And Jesus was placed in a feeding trough for animals. He left the splendor of heaven. And he came and was born in a lowly birth. And the announcement was given to shepherds out on the hillside. The first, other than his parents, the first people to receive the message that the Savior was born were shepherds. Now there's some differences of opinion as to who these shepherds were, and some believe that they were looking after sheep that were offered at the temple. And so they had to watch to make sure that there was no flaw, that these sheep did not break their leg or something happened to them that would not be acceptable as a sacrifice in the temple. And these were the ones that were told that a Savior was born and that He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they left their job. They left their sheep. And they went to see this thing that had come to pass. It was also the name revealed to Simeon before and after Christ's birth. Look at Luke 2, verse 27 through 32. Simeon was there in the temple serving the Lord. And in Luke 2, 27 through 32, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen Jesus. You see, Simeon was told that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now I can die in peace. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the key verses to the book of Romans, the key verses to the first chapter of Romans, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's in the gospel, it's in the good news that Jesus Christ is Savior and that He came to die for you. That's God's righteousness that He offers to us if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Simeon saw God's righteousness. Have you seen God's salvation? That's the question. And I don't mean do you know about it, but have you experienced God's salvation in your life? You know, with a group like this, I'm sure there's some here. And maybe you've made a profession before, but you know in your heart that you have not truly been born again. And you haven't really experienced, you cannot really understand what this name Jesus means. Unless you've experienced His salvation. Unless you've accepted Him as your own personal Savior. The fifth person that we read about here in God's Word who heard this name after he was born. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. Her name was Anna, a prophetess. She was 84 years old, serving there in the temple, praying and fasting. It says in Luke 2:37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, when the parents had brought Jesus in to dedicate Him, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Redemption. You know, when I was sharing with you the words of the Christian faith, and we spoke about redemption, we call that the word of freedom. Jesus paid the price to redeem us to God, to make us acceptable to God. It says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Redemption. To redeem is to live, to deliver, which is Savior. So she too, Anna, was looking for the Savior, Jesus. Now there have been others who have been given this name, Deliverer, Savior. Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses, who led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. These were deliverers. These were leaders, and even Joshua's name meant that, Deliverer, Savior. But they could not, nor could any other person that might be given that name, they could not fulfill that name completely. Jesus Christ was a perfect fulfillment of the name Jesus. He was without sin. He's the perfect definition of that name. He's a perfect definition of love, a perfect definition of grace, a perfect definition of mercy. Here are some other Bible names and some names that some name their children. Joshua, Jehovah is salvation. Micah, like Jehovah. Michael, like God. John, Jehovah is gracious. Jonah, dove. It says in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God has given him a name that is above every name. Jesus, Savior. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior can testify to that. Because there's never been another man who's lived on the face of the earth that could save us from our sins. There's never been another man on the face of the earth that can not only save us from our sin, but keep us as we live our life here on this earth. Savior. A perfect definition. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there's the whole name, Jesus Christ, Lord. Have you confessed him as your Lord? Are you a professing Christian and you know you're saved, but you're not letting him be Lord of your life? You're choosing for yourself. Cameron Kent from Channel 12, I don't know whether you heard this, but he's written a book. And it's entitled The Road to Redemption. Now, I don't know what he's got in the book about this road to redemption. What I heard him share, the words that he used would sound like somebody pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, you know, to redemption. Well, that's not going to last. It's only when we experience true salvation, when we accept him as our Savior. So I ask the question again. Do you know him as your own personal Savior, or do you just know about him? The only way to experience the true meaning of his name, Savior, is to know him as your own personal Savior. It says in John chapter 1, well, we'll quote verses 11 and 12. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He has made us sons of God if we have received him and believed on his name. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That name Jesus, that is above every name, or greater than every name, the name that was given to his father Joseph before his birth, the name that was given to his mother before his birth, the name given to the shepherds after his birth, the name revealed to Simeon before and after his birth, and the name that was made known to Anna, a prophetess in Jerusalem. I have a book at home, and probably many of you have read it. This book has been around for over 100 years. It's called In His Steps. And in this book, it tells, it's a novel, and it tells about a group in a church. I think there were only about six of them that determined to do this. But they said they were going to ask themselves this question in their businesses, in everything that they did in their lives. They were going to ask themselves this question: what would Jesus do? Now, I do not get on the computer. I have different ones to show me things on the computer, but I do not get on the computer. But I understand the fad right now is the Facebook. I want you to ask yourself this question. If Jesus was on Facebook, what would he put on there? What would he have on there? There's a preacher in this area. It's the pastor of a large church, and a few Sundays ago, he got into the pulpit, and he's become friends. That's the term, right? You have friends, and those can go into your Facebook. Well, he's become friends with a lot of people in his church, and he got up in the pulpit and expressed how alarmed he was at what they had on their Facebook. He said, as a Christian, and I'm not using his exact words, but what he was referring to, as a Christian, if you're going to be on Facebook, have something on there to show you're a Christian. But some of the things I've seen that Christian had on Facebook did not give evidence to me that that was a believer. Pictures. Things that are said. If Jesus Christ had a Facebook page, he does. It's called the Word of God. He's all through. It's like Charles Spurgeon said, when somebody asked him what his theology was, he said, "I take a verse from anywhere in the Bible and I make a beeline for the cross." This is Jesus' Facebook. The Savior. He wants us to be like him. That's what the name Christian means. Christ. I am nothing. That Christ be seen in me. That I be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I guess we could update this in his steps to the Facebook now. You know? What would Jesus do? What would he say? I heard that after this pastor said this in the pulpit, you could look on those Facebooks and they were saying hallelujah and all this stuff on it. But you know what? Jesus Christ can see your Facebook page if nobody else can. It says in Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." He pondereth. He meditates on what we're doing, what we're saying, and what we have on Facebook. Let your Facebook page and let your life show forth the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify Him. The one thing that that pastor said, he said, what I found on there was everybody was talking about this movie that everybody's going to. Everybody was talking about that instead of talking about the Lord. Would you turn in your hymnals to page 204? And I'm not going to lead you in it, but Bert is. Number 204. And I wonder if we could just stand to sing it. Father, we thank You for that name. We thank You that Your Son was a perfect fulfillment of that name, and that He came into this world in order that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We pray for anyone who is here today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that before this day ends, they would understand what that name really means and experience in their own hearts and in their own lives, that they might go into this Christmas season knowing that God became a man and dwelt among us, and that you came for one purpose, that they might have life. And Lord, we just pray that you would work in each one of our lives and each one of us who know you as our Savior, that we might live lives that would honor you, that other people would see Christ in us. We know that we're the only Bible that many people read. Help us to be pointing others to Jesus Christ. We thank you for our time together and pray that you would watch over us throughout the remainder of this day and all that we do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.